shadow. Cherokee red to shoot them. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome. Good to have you back with us. And we are about to start the conversation that was Mos Def. It's his birthday today. And that was his piece, Sunshine. We are going to focus today on a number of things, but built around the murder of Tyrone West, what we know about that has come out since the in the last couple of days. There have been a lot of confusion in the press, statements made by the state's attorney. The Morgan State University's paper, the spokesman, broke some news about his death by asphyxiation that caused kind of a tumbling out of conversation and forcing people to kind of respond, both the medical examiner's office, the state prosecutor, I mean, the state's attorney's office. When we got that paper from Shipp, who teaches and supervises that paper here at Morgan State University, we sent that article to the state's attorney's office, to the medical examiner's office, to other people around the city who were involved in the case to say, what do you have to say about this? It was learned later through another article that Tyrone West family said they had not heard of that from anybody other than what they heard from the press. We'll talk about that. We have a statement that email exchange I had with the medical examiner's office that we will share with you here on the show. And we will explore a lot of aspects of this. We have in the studio with us Dr. Gerald we'll be joined soon by Dr. Gerald Insel, who's chief of cardiology at MedStar Good Samaritan Hospital, to explain what this means medically. Tawanda Jones is in the studio, and George Peoples, sister and uncle of Tyrone West, who will join us many, many times. Reverend Demlin Coates is with us, senior pastor at Mount Enon Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland. He's running for lieutenant governor with Heather Mazier, but that's not why he's here. He's here because he's been talking about this for a long time, and he's come on the studio to talk about that. So we're not talking about the campaign, but about this issue, and he joins us here in the studio. Jackie Robarge is with us. Because from Power Inside, a program of fusion partnerships, because she raises a lot of issues about what happens in the medical examiner's office. And we have to talk about that and hear her thoughts. And then we'll come back to the ME's office and see what they have to say. But let's first turn to Justin Fenton. Justin Fenton is a reporter for The Sun who has been covering this for the Baltimore Sun, the crime reporter. Justin, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
So Justin, tell us, this has been a lot of confusion. You've been following this pretty intensely. And there's been a lot of confusion the last few days, accusations back and forth. What can you parse out for us very quickly?
Yeah, I mean, first I should say that while the announcement was in some ways a surprise, we had heard that there was a possibility it was going to come out today, on Monday. We kind of thought that person was confusing the Anthony Anderson announcement that was going to happen later in the day. But as it turned out, you know, the prosecutors did come forward with that information. There's sort of two main issues here that are in many ways connected. One is, you know, why weren't they releasing the cause of death? And two, what happened out there? And to what degree are officers responsible or not responsible? And so we've been hitting really hard on this simple issue of why does it take 4 or 5 months to get a autopsy result? You know, people within the department that I had talked to had sort of known for a long time what the investigation had found, what the preliminary autopsy had found. It was known to police that you know, in talking with the people that they had talked to, that they believed that, you know, Mr. West's death was not caused by a beating. But it just seemed like the paperwork related to that, the findings related to that, were dragging, causing a lot of stress to the family on top of the loss of their loved one. So yesterday they came out with that cause of death. It affirms what we'd been hearing, which was that, you know, they believe, based on their tests, based on, you know, the things that they did, that this was a medical cause of death. They did not rule a manner. They're not saying it's a homicide. They're not saying it's a suicide. They're not saying it's an accident. They're not saying it's natural causes. They're saying that in the context of everything that happened that day, he had a heart condition, he was dehydrated, and he was being restrained. And all those things together caused his death, and they won't say which one was sort of the key factor. So now the sort of attention turns to, you know, now what? you know, what is the police investigation shown? Is anything going to happen to the officers? Should anything happen to the officers? I mean, the officers, it should be noted yesterday, through their attorney, said this vindicates us. You know, we said we didn't beat him, and this shows we didn't. So, and they think that there's no way the state's attorney could possibly pursue charges given this finding by the medical examiner's office. So that's where we are today. There's a hearing at City Hall tonight. But, you know, I don't expect much from police given that the investigation is still open.
What do you expect from the state's attorney's office?
I mean, the union is saying if there's a finding that is that Mr. West was not beaten and that, you know, it's not a homicide, that there's just they can't see any scenario where there's charges. In fact, they anticipated yesterday that the announcement would be that the officers have been cleared. That did not happen, but they anticipate it will.
Justin, I appreciate you, all the work you've done and staying on top of this, and thank you for joining us.
Okay, thanks.
Justin Fenton, Baltimore Sun Crime Reporter. Let's turn to our panel here in the studio at 410-319-8888, and your thoughts, write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages. You can also tweet us at Mark Steiner. Twanda,
yes.
Good to have you back. Let me make sure you talk into the mic so we can hear you. There you go.
First of all, I want to say that let's stick to the facts. We know that my brother was brutally murdered. We know that 10 police officers beat, kicked, tased, maced my brother. What we don't know is which one of those factors played a part in his death. So far as them saying, like, my brother had, like, some type of heart problem or things of that nature, my brother was a healthy young man. And also, as I was stating and has been stating from day one, and even when I came on this show, which is recorded, that day when my brother left my home, me and him was eating dinner. My brother had just gulped down a pink lemonade. He bought two large ones. He just gulped down a pink lemonade and was on to the second one as he was driving away. And if you notice, if you look on the pictures of the videos that they have, his pink lemonade is sitting still on the top of my car, the second pink lemonade. So I know he wasn't dehydrated. And if he was, what causes dehydration?
Well, I mean, that's the question because, I mean, just with all due respect to that one, I mean, and I might get into arguing about this, but that the sugar intake of a lemonade doesn't kind of deal with dehydration. Water
no,
does.
No, but I'm saying, so, no, but he had water before then. But what I'm saying was he was drinking.
So we don't know what the state's attorney is going to say yet. But what I also learned from what you were saying, George, that people, you did not learn about this in the medical examiner's office. You didn't learn about it from the funeral director's office. You didn't learn about this in the state's attorney's office. You learned it from the what came out of the Morgan State University paper and then other newspapers after?
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. First off, good morning, Mark.
Good to see you, George.
And,
welcome.
We're glad to be on your show again because of your venue and your media exposure. We are now getting some proper response and some type of an answer, even though it doesn't satisfy the family completely. But we must be reminded that the medical autopsy is just that. Medical. It does not state what was physically done to my nephew.
Exactly.
It doesn't state the bruises, the
yes,
bumps,
exactly.
The broken bones,
exactly.
Whatever happened, which may have, in fact, precipitated the cause of his death. Even though they said that the manner is undetermined, we know, just as Justin Fenton said, the manner of death are one of five things: a homicide, suicide, accidental, natural, and undetermined.
And what the state attorney's office, I'll read what their report said regarding the office of the medical chief, the office of the chief medical examiner, ACME. Based on the autopsy and forensic examination, the office of the chief of medical examiner has concluded that Mr. West's death was caused from cardiac arrhythmia due to cardiac conduction system abnormality complicated by dehydration during the police restraint. The manner of death could not be determined because of an inability to determine the absolute relative contribution of each of these described factors that caused Mr. West's death. The state attorney's office will continue with its independent investigation of the circumstances of Mr. West's death, and which will include the findings of the office of the chief medical examiner. In order to preserve the integrity of the investigation, no further information regarding the autopsy of the medical examiner's conclusions will be released at this time. We are dedicated to expeditiously concluding this investigation. And Jamie Richardson, let me welcome you as well to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thank you,
back
Paul.
Again. Sorry, I mean, I'm not introduced the last time. Anything happened so quickly, I apologize. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Tyrone West's cousin.
Yes.
Let me turn to some other guys. Delman Coates. I mean, what's your sense of this? Is both a kind of religious, political figure in our state, who got involved in this.
Sure. Well, first of all, Mark, thank you for keeping the death of Tyrone West before the public. And I've decided to lend my support for the West family and really the broader community that is very much interested when cases like this happen, are interested in a fair, open, and transparent investigation when things such as this take place. There are really two tragedies here. First, as we all know, is the death of Tyrone West. But the second tragedy is the manner in which this issue has been mishandled. And so we're all concerned about the structural issues that are impeding the ability of this family to get the answers that they need and the answers that they deserve. Victims of homicide, such as survivors of homicide, such as this family,
yes,
have rights as well.
Amen.
And their rights have been trampled upon because here they are, 5 months after the passing of their lost one, their loved one, rather. They've not heard from elected officials in this regard. They've been left to try to piece together, yep, what has happened from media reports.
Mm-hmm.
This is a complete injustice. And so
yes,
I think all of us in the faith community, the civil rights community, all of us who are in leadership in any capacity ought to be concerned about the way in which there has been a rush to protect the government apparatus,
yes,
without responding to the desires of this family to know what happened to their loved one. The cause of death, as referenced in this report, in no way addresses the manner in which Tyrone,
amen,
West may.
Amen.
And we need an open, fair,
yes,
and transparent investigation.
Absolutely.
That needs to happen now.
We have a lot of people calling in here, and I want to raise, I think Councilman Nick Mosby is also on the line with us. Councilman, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Before we turn to you, let me just say that I think this raises a lot of issues, a whole lot of issues. And I think that let me just read a piece of communications I had with the medical examiner's office on this particular case. When I responded, when I asked a question from the Morgan State University paper about, an article about, saying it was asphyxiation that killed him. So I wrote a question asking that. Positional asphyxiation, which was not, by the way, in at least what the state's attorney's office put out, because that would mean something a little different. It would mean, if that was the case, that would mean that he was, the way he was held down contributed to his choking to death. That's what that would mean in literal sense.
Absolutely.
Which is not what the state's attorneys came back with from the official report. So he said they can't confirm or deny the information because they can't discuss the case while it's under investigation. So we knew that. He said, by law, death certificates are issued within 24 hours. When the cause and manner of death are not yet known, those spaces on death certificates say pending. Once an investigation is complete and the cause and manner are determined, a letter is sent to vital records and the death certificate is awarded with cause and manner filled in. An amended death certificate is sent to the funeral home, which in turn provides it to the family. In this particular case, I understand the medical examiner also spoke with family members and informed them of cause and manner of death. So let's talk about that. I mean, so what do we know and not know? I mean, what were you told by the ME's office? What were you told by the police?
First of all, we didn't talk to the ME's office.
Get you back in the microphone.
First of all, we didn't talk to the ME's office. When we spoke to them, when we were out there rallying, they weren't able to tell us because it was an ongoing investigation. So no one never sat down and told us cause or man or none of that.
As a matter of fact, Mark, during this same one of the demonstrations that we did in front of the office of the medical examiner's office, we as a family went up into the office and insisted that we speak to the person who personally performed the autopsy. And we stated that we're not leaving until you give us something. And at that time, the office gave us a certificate saying that, well, really wasn't a certificate. It was just a statement saying that the case is pending and samples have been sent out to outside agencies.
So let me do this. There's so many people here on this program today, and we want to get everybody's voice in here. But let me just take a little segue here because I think it's important to hear a medical kind of opinion about what this report, what we know about what the report said, what it really means medically. So we are joined by Dr. Gerald Insel. Insel, who is Chief of Cardiology at MedStar Good Samaritan Hospital. Dr. Insel, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here, Mark.
What can you tell us about what I read about what the medical examiner's report said as was reported by the state's attorney's office? What does that mean clinically? What does that mean in terms of what we know or don't know about how Tyrone West died?
Okay, Mark, let me just first say I want to give my condolences to the family. It's a terrible thing to lose a dear one in this
Thank
time.
You. Thank
I
you.
Really, I mean, it's terrible.
Thank you.
You know, this is very, very nonspecific. I really can't comment on the case because I don't know the case, but let me tell you this. A person dies from a bad rhythm. Usually what it is, it's a rapid heart rhythm from the lower chamber, either called ventricular tachycardia or ventricular fibrillation. Basically what happens, usually due to some stressful incident, it can be due to a heart attack, it can be due to trauma, it can be due to blood loss, and what happens is, in response to that, the heart gets irritated and it starts beating extremely, extremely fast. It beats very fast, and it cannot maintain blood flow to the heart itself or blood flow to the brain, and the person dies from that. So when you say that somebody died from an arrhythmia, it's very, very nonspecific. Any traumatic type of incident can do this. Mm-hmm. Heart attack, somebody beaten,
exactly.
Somebody shot,
beaten.
Anything can do this. So again, I don't know the specifics of the case,
yes.
But this is the final way a person dies. You have mm-hmm. stress, the heart can't keep up with it, the heart itself has a lack of blood flow, and it starts going into this irregular heart rhythm. And that's usually what it is. That's usually the final end. So it's very difficult when you hear that to say what causes, but you know things that can cause it. Things that can cause it are a heart attack, a gunshot wound, trauma,
beating, exactly.
Anything like this. This is the end of a traumatic episode of any different type. Again, I don't want to comment on the specifics because I don't know the specifics of the case, but this is the end of a very traumatic episode.
With that said, what we don't know is what led to this. It could be any number of things is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you can take somebody, for example, you can take a man, 45-year-old, 50-year-old man, a stressful situation, you know, something happens in their life. They can have a heart attack, and you can have ventricular fibrillation.
Right.
Somebody can have an episode where they lose blood. They have an ulcer, and they can go into this bad type of rhythm. Somebody can be beaten, and they can go into this
bad type of rhythm.
You know, somebody can be shot in the leg, and they lose blood. And a younger person this can happen to. Essentially, it's a response. What happens is the heart cannot keep up with blood flow. So the heart gets irritated. It goes into this bad rhythm. It's a very disorganized rhythm. And the person dies. You just don't maintain blood flow to the heart or to the brain. But again, you can't comment on the specific case.
But Dr. Nunsell, I appreciate you taking part of your valuable time.
Thank you, doctor, because what you said makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
And that was Tawanda Jones, who's the Tyrone West sister, who's in the studio with us, Dr. Nunsell.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us. We needed that medical clarification. And any other questions for Dr. Nunsell, and we'll let him go.
No, Dr. Nunsell, I thank you so very much for that clarification of the medical side of it. However, we've always contended that the police use excessive force and police brutality in this. So your explanation clearly defines what could have precipitated the cause of his death. Thank you so very much.
And God bless you. And the key is you need the autopsy report. Get that autopsy report.
The complete.
Yes. Mm. We're all waiting for that.
God bless everybody.
Thank you, Doctor. We'll call you back, Doctor, as soon as we find that.
Bye.
Dr. Insel is Chief of Cardiology at MedStar's Good Samaritan Hospital.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
So we wanted to get that on the table just to understand what medically this could be.
So,
if in fact the state attorney's office comes out tomorrow or the next day or the day after saying that nobody is going to be charged, the investigation is over, I think it leaves a lot of questions, to say the least, unanswered.
Amen.
Councilman Mosby, you're online with us here. Talk about what you intend to do. I have one very specific question after this. I want the whole panel to wrestle with, especially the family and Jackie Robards, and get her into this conversation immediately. But talk about what your intentions are, both of the hearing tonight, and what your intentions are to address this situation.
Well, my concern was.
I'm sorry, Nick. I apologize. We're going on so heavy, hot and heavy here. It's time for us to take a quick break. We're going to take a break. Let you answer that question as soon as we come back. Okay.
All right. Gotcha.
What you hear on the way back is Big Mama Thornton, the woman who made Hound Dog, not Elvis Presley. Today is the day that she passed away, so we're celebrating her with her music. We are here in studio with members of Tyrone West family. We are here with Tawanda Jones, who is his sister, George Peoples, Tyrone West's uncle, and Jamie Richardson, Tyrone West's cousin. Dr. Gerald Insull joined us earlier, chief cardiologist, Reverend Delmon Coates, senior pastor of Mount Enim Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland, who's been talking about this since the beginning, also a candidate for lieutenant governor on the ticket with Delegate Heather Mazier. Jackie Robarge is with us. Jacqueline Robarge is founder and director of the Power Inside program of Fusion Partnerships. We're also joined on the phone by Councilman Nick Mosby. Anatoya Leatherberry is in the studio. She's a student reporter who broke the story in The Spokesman about this case just yesterday. And all of you are with us at 410-319-8888. Jason and Leo, we're going to come to your calls. But Nick Mosby, Councilman, what do you intend tonight?
Well, I mean, just to take a step back, Mark, the reason that, you know, I spoke out with some of my colleagues regarding this particular issue is, you know, at the end of the day, when I had the opportunity to sit down and meet with the West family, and I saw just the pain in the eyes of the sister and the uncle and the aunts as it relates to just wanting to advocate for their rights and wanting to advocate for their lost loved one. You know, I thought it was critically important that this issue come to the forefront. And it's time for, you know, from a city agency perspective, from a state agency perspective, as it relates to the government, that we can, that we put trust back into our citizens. And that's by having an open and direct and transparent dialogue. You know, for this to drag on 4 or 5 months, and to be honest, I do not think we would be to the point that we are yesterday when we physically got some word out of the state's attorney's office. If it were not for us kind of coming out and speaking out. And that's, at the end of the day, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to tell family members, oh, it'll come out when it comes out. You have to wait. You know, there's you know, numerous of different municipalities around this country that, you know, they come out with preliminary reports or they come out with at least some communication and dialogue. We have to grow trust back into our citizens who have a very distrustful taste towards the system and apathetic view, but towards the whole democratic process. So that was my biggest thing of coming out. The whole issue today was just to put pressure on, hopefully, the medical examiner to hopefully get him there. He decided, said he wasn't going to come. But also just bring this to the forefront from a media perspective to tell folks that we're standing with the family, saying they have every right to know what happened and what transpired. And we need to keep those lines of communication open with them. And, you know, I felt like when I sat down with the family that that wasn't necessarily the case.
Let me kind of push this a bit further. I think that hearings are wonderful, and we all think that we should have a public airing of this. I think that's really important. But let me go to some systemic issues and see if there needs to be some changes. And one of the things I want to propose to you, council person, and to all the people in this room is, as a friend of mine wrote to me, who is a law professor, we've been going back and forth about this case. He said that Doug Colbert's his name, the University of Maryland School of Law, said that cases like this should be taken out of the state's attorney's office and given to an independent special prosecutor who has no ties to the police department or anybody else or the government to investigate what happened and come out with a conclusion that then a state's attorney's office or somebody else can prosecute or not prosecute and address, because and to take it completely outside the realm, that realm. So I'm curious what we all think about that. And very quickly, Nick, I'm wondering why you and other city council members maybe have not kind of addressed that in a kind of fundamental systemic way. I think it's great to air these things. It's great to have people testify. It's important to hear Tyrone West family say what they got to say. But what about systemic changes that make maybe a change in the future that don't allow these things to happen?
Well, first and foremost, Mark, I truly understand the importance of independent investigations. But the one thing I would just bog out as a resident, as a citizen, is at the end of the day, we should have trust in the system that the state's attorney's office. Because we elect the state's attorney to be independent of the police department. We don't elect the state's attorney to be in cahoots. And I'm not necessarily saying that this is the particular case, but at the end of the day, that's the way the system. If at the end of the day, we start off saying that no matter what, the state's attorney is in cahoots with.
I never said that.
And I didn't say you said that, but if that's what you feel like, we have to always go to an independent study, and that would root away the issue of the systemic issue that you've raised. If that's always the case, then what's the point of having the state's attorney involved in the process at all?
Because with all due respect, Councilman Mosby, now we have to look at the past as an indication of the future. Now, we know that the Baltimore City State's Attorney has never, ever, in his tenure, prosecuted any police officer for police brutality or excessive force. Now, if this is if the past is any indication of what's going to proceed in the future, then we must be independent and be away from him, because it's evident that, you know, from his past performance, he hasn't done so. He hasn't served the community to which he was elected to.
And I would argue to say then that's the crux of the matter. It's not necessarily related to the structural relationship or organized relationship. Maybe that there's just some other underlying issues associated with the department. And I'm not saying an independent investigation is not needed. I would prefer there to be an independent investigation. At the end of the day, for whatever reason, this is dragged on for almost 4.5 months. There's been no communication with the exception of what took place yesterday. But I think that we get down a very slippery slope when we just say, you know, structurally, we should always go down this path. No, at the end of the day, there should be independent voices. We haven't necessarily seen that from the state's attorney. So that's why we should push and try to go down that path. But at the end of the day, it's the role and responsibility of the state's attorney to be that independent voice for the citizens.
Jackie Rabarge, why don't you let me jump in and bring Donald Coates back in as well.
Wow. I think the structural issues are exactly where we need to go. And I think Tyrone West's family has had the courage to not only cope with their grief and loss, but also contribute to making some real change. And that's what we need. There's a lot of things going on in this case. The human rights issues and the structural issues are really are impacting me quite a bit. I mean, there is international standards on how families of the bereaved should be treated and what rights they have. And they have a right to information about their loved ones. They have a right to have investigative material around suspicious deaths. They have a right to remedies that are, you know, when there is harm. And so a day after Human Rights Day, I think we really should be looking at the larger issues. And then the structural piece of it for us and our program is over the years of working with very vulnerable individuals, the number of deaths that are manner undetermined when we hear from community members and family members the circumstances surrounding their deaths is really a concern to us. Starting from 2001, mm-hmm. I have a list on my notepad here mm-hmm. of death after death yes. where we heard that it was either a murder or mm-hmm. a drug-related overdose where the medical examiner's findings are manner undetermined. Now, I'm not a medical expert, and, you know, so I can't presume to know all that goes into those determinations. But when we have a medical examiner's office in the state of Maryland that has one of the highest rates of manner undetermined
death. How do we
know that? Justin Fenton had a story in 2012. Stephen Janis has been following this since 2006. And, you know, we had a death, Tyra McClarty. We had heard it was a murder from everyone in the community, manner undetermined. Denise Whitcomb died in central booking in 2001, manner undetermined. Mm-hmm. And we had a recent death, you know, of our program participants who sadly are, you know, drug users and overdose. And so there is a documented pattern. Justin mm-hmm. Fenton mentioned a study in 2006 that did find our state with one of the highest rates of that. And so that is an issue. And, you know, I think we need to get to the bottom of Tyrone West's case, but I think we also need to follow the lead of Tyrone West's family and figure out how this can never happen.
And on the way to Delmon,
if I could jump in real quick.
No, let me go to Delmon Coates, but let me just say, I think that I want to say something Jackie said for 10 seconds worth, and go right to Delmon mm-hmm. Coates, and then we're going to open the phones, which is I want to thank also the West family, all of the West family, because what you all have done of not giving up, of showing your family and force and friends out every day, every Wednesday at a public institution that is involved in this, with the medical examiner's office, city hall, prosecutor's office, the police department, Morgan State Police Department, wherever that is, That has kept the pressure on. You have stayed solid as a family. You've gone through this incredible grieving process together at Roberta's house as a family. You've stood up as a family. You got the community around you as a family. And you're the ones who are spearheading this idea of how we can change the systemic problems. We have to give thanks to your family for standing
Thank
up
you.
And not backing down when and coming as a united front. That has been very critical.
Before Pastor Coates comes in, and on comment on what you just said, it really has been hard on this family to do what we did. But with the resolve and with the strength of our good Lord, He's enabled us to do what we have to do. And it's not just for Tyrone that we're doing this.
Yeah, and Mark,
Delman Coates is next.
I echo you.
Excuse me, Nick. Nick, I got Delman. Excuse me, Nick. Delman Coates is next.
I echo those sentiments.
Someone go to the cousin we haven't heard from.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments as well. We are here today because of the perseverance of this family. And the systemic question that you asked has to be answered in the context of all of us understanding who the system is supposed to serve. Mm-hmm. The system is supposed to serve the community. Government exists to help the community. And so whether the process is independent, whether it's the existing process, at the end of the day, it should be a process that's to the satisfaction of the family and the community. They need to be able to leave. And I believe that it's in the best interest of everyone involved, the city council, the mayor, the police department, for the family and the community to be assured that the process and the investigation was fair, open, and transparent. And so whether that's an independent process, whether it's the existing process, at the end of the day, I think the family and the community, the survivors of homicide here, ought to be the final arbiters of what of our process.
And we have to get the phones. Nick, let me let you have a say, then we'll go over to Jamie and open the phones.
Yeah, Mark, thank you. No, I was just going to say, I truly believe if it wasn't for the efforts of the demonstrations of the West family, we would not be to this point. And, you know, like everyone has said, at the end of the day, communication needs to be open. We have to lose this whole elitist mentality of West family will come to you, will get to you once the report is done, you know, just kind of go away. And, you know, when it comes out, whether it's 5 months or 6 months or a year from now, you know, that's when you're going to get it. We have to have open lines of communication, or we'll continue to exacerbate the distrust that our citizenry have with the government and has with the processes that we have in place.
Jamie?
I just want to add.
Let me get the microphone down to closer to your face there so we can hear you. There you go.
I just want to add that all of a sudden now everybody is trying to come forth with saying we're getting answers now. But at the end of the day, we're still fighting for justice for Tyrone West, regardless of what. It's just that now they're doing their job.
Right.
What they've been supposed to have done 100 and something
from
days
July
ago,
18.
5 months ago, now all of a sudden they're trying to throw this on my family. Everything is just so overwhelming to us. Everybody's getting sick. My aunt is getting sick. My mother, my grandmother, everybody is getting sick behind this. But the real question is, what is going to happen with these officers?
Yes.
We're still fighting for that, regardless of what they say.
And we're not going to stop. So let's not get it twisted and think that West Winds is going to stop, because it's not going to stop until we get justice for my brother. That's why we set it up in a place, and we're not going to stop. No justice, no peace. We're not going to stop. We're on the battlefield, and we're going to continue being there strong.
And we have a lot of people calling in, so let's get some phone calls here. 410-319-8888. We'll go first to Brother Jason. You're on the air.
Good morning, family.
Good morning, Jason.
My heart and my prayers go out to all the families of police brutality and police-involved deaths in this city. I, as an investigative journalist for DMV Daily, has been on the phone this morning and has sent numerous emails out to forensic scientists across the country. One, trying to find out exactly what this conclusion means, what this actual statement means as the cause of death, and two, also to possibly find someone to be involved in an auditing process of our medical examiner's office.
Amen.
I really think it's time. I really think we have some issues. I had the opportunity to get a return call this morning from a Dr. Wah from the Jacoby Medical Center up in Bronx, New York, who is a forensic scientist. who says that we really need to get the full report. Because suppose the mace and the airwaves kind of exacerbated the condition of the accelerated heart rate, of the accelerated dehydration, something that would be caused when the body is in stress and the body is trying to recover from stress. So now, I'm not a medical scientist, but I know that most of the replies that I'm getting back, including Dr. Wah, are all saying that this does not necessarily mean that the state's attorney does not have enough information to prosecute.
Yes.
So let's hold off and let's put this in God's hands.
Yes.
And hope that we can get a prosecution out of this state's attorney who is refusing to prosecute cases when it seems that officers are involved in some capacity.
Jason,
this is a real problem.
A real one.
And I have a problem with them not wanting to show up to this hearing this evening. I spoke to several doctors, including Dr. Wah, who all agreed that they get their money from the taxpayer. So their responsibility and their accountability is to the citizens, to the taxpayers. So for Bruce Goldfarb, his assistant, and the chief medical examiner to pass off to all the reporters, because I've asked numerous times for a interview with the chief medical examiner and was denied numerous times. I've asked even possibly to maybe come on Mark Steiner's show or maybe one of the other shows throughout the city where he can just come and educate and connect that bridge between what the medical examiner's office does and what the community interprets that they do. I think that bridge needs to be filled.
So, Jason, I need to go back to the panel here.
Right. But love you, family. Like I
love
said,
you too.
I'm looking into being there tonight to testify on the information that I have about the medical examiner's office when I did my interview.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much.
See you there.
And I just quickly wanted to insert that the medical examiner also refused to come before the city council in 2010 when Belinda Conaway was trying to look into the very same issue of what is going on in our medical examiner's office.
So 410, somebody else comment. We'll go back to the phones. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Mac in Northeast. You're on the air.
Yes. Condolences to the family.
And thank you.
Thank you, Mac.
The young lady who gave out the stats about the Maryland leading with the undetermined cause of death.
Jackie Rabarge.
Very sobering. And I find it kind of strange that Mr. Mosby would come on and try to lobby for to leave the power of the role of the state's attorney when his wife is running for that very office. I mean, this is not the time to play politics.
And yes, if I was playing politics, like
the young lady said, undetermined cause of death that. What other way of justice would you get other than an independent investigation? It's like a total lack of respect for the citizens of Baltimore. It's like we could just tell them anything.
That's true, Mac.
And that's not right. It's just basically not right.
That's true, Mac.
Mac, thank you so much. Nick, I heard you want to respond. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe I didn't articulate it in the best way. I totally agree that, and I actually said this, that independent study should take place. What I said was the crux of the matter around this issue is the fact of the matter is that the community is distrustful with the state's attorney and distrustful the fact that that's going to be carried out in a way, in a manner in which it's going to be fair and just. You know, and what further exacerbates it is the fact that this process has gone on for so long, for almost 5 months. So what I was saying was as a structural perspective, the state's attorney's office should be independent. We shouldn't have that distrust. You know, and if those lines of communications were open, if we didn't take this elitist approach of just pushing the family to a side and not speaking up, and once again, I do not think we would be to the level of where we are today if it wasn't for the family advocating, if it wasn't for the council speaking out, that is the issue. I mean, this clearly is a case that needs to be done in an independent fashion, just so all parties involved, specifically the family who's been grieving for so long, will have a very just process and feel very comfortable with the results of it.
So let me I'm going to bring a toy into this conversation here in a second because we have not heard from her. But I just want to say that I think I want to hear from our panelists here a bit about this. That there are three things to me in my mind here, and I think that one is that we need to have the Tyrone West case understood, done, understand everything that went on the table, total clarity, total understanding of what happened. And that when we don't have that, we need it now.
Exactly.
But B, I think that we also need to think about, and I'll push it again, that I'm not saying that anybody is in cahoots with anybody else. What I'm saying is that the state's attorney's office has a working relationship with the police department they have to maintain. That being the case, should an independent examiner be appointed on cases that involve the police to determine what happened? Not saying there's anything wrong with Rick Bernstein, he's in collusion. Not saying there's anything wrong with the police. I'm saying that something's called for an independent review that is not being given. And I don't know enough about how medical examiners' offices work to know if our state office is working the way it's supposed to or not. But we need to know that.
We need to know.
We need to know that.
I think they're all in cahoots with each other.
They may be, but I'm not saying.
That's my opinion.
No, that's
they all in cahoots with each other.
So, talk a bit about what you discovered, because there is a kind of a discrepancy between what you were writing about asphyxiation and what we've seen. And I meant to ask the doctor on the program when he was here a moment ago, but what can you talk about?
Well, what I got from the story that I did on before yesterday was the source that I got said, used specific language saying that Mr. West died of positional asphyxiation, meaning the way that he was held, he could not breathe. Now, from what the medical expert said earlier, it doesn't seem like that is out of the question since we still don't know what
exactly
killed this man.
Exactly.
Right.
So I also saw other reports saying that he died of heart failure, dehydration, and all that other stuff. And to be honest, we all die of heart failure. That means our heart fails to beat. Okay.
Exactly.
So what caused that heart failure is still up in air.
Exactly.
So that's the problem
right
now.
Them 10 police officers caused it. That's what caused it.
That's where we are right now. So until we find this full report, and I think it's kind of sketchy how only half the report or some of the report came out. It seems like they're kind of just trying to
tell what they want. Exactly. They're just trying to give us a little bit of answers and think we're going to go away. Well, if you're thinking that, we're not. We want everything.
Well,
I want to see all the kicks, tase marks that was on my brother's body.
Let's be reminded, too, that the medical autopsy report is supposed to be an independent report, and it is supposed to speak for the deceased, not for any other parties involved. But if we look carefully at what was reported at the end of that statement, it said that this happened during police restraint. Now, how would the medical examiner's office know this had they not been complicit with the police and finding out what they did? Because when a body comes in, the body can't say, I was in police restraint.
Exactly.
So how would a medical examiner know this to say this on an official report? Let's be clear about that.
And this isn't the only
Jackie Barge
death in police restraint or Department of Public Safety's restraint. We've had deaths over the years where this positioning, especially when there is mace or pepper spray used, can be deadly.
Yes.
And if you look at the police protocols in preventing death while, doing this restraint, they have a lot of technical information on just how to prevent it because it's so common across the country.
And be reminded, too, that we're talking about pepper spray, but it was not even mentioned about the fact that he was tased which is an electrical.
Three times.
Which is an electrical.
Can I ask you all questions? How do we know it was three times?
Well,
witnesses that came on the news were saying that they saw him being tased.
And we know that from the medical autopsy report, it says something about cardiac conduction system. Now, we know that the heart and the body, according to the experts in medical, electrical impulses are sent through the body. Now, even when a person supposedly has a heart attack, they use a defibrillator to jumpstart the heart. Now, if too much voltage is sent through that body or through that heart, now we know that it can either stop the heart.
Exactly.
or can start the heart.
And we know that those jokers spray so much of pepper spray that you see them on the curb. They was pouring water in those police eyes, but I ain't seen nobody pour nothing in my brother's eyes. They spray so much. I seen police sitting on the corner, and I just recently observed that on Fox 45. But it keeps showing my brother's dead body. But you see them specifically spraying, the officers held back, and they're spraying water in his eyes to get all that pepper spray that they sprayed. Let's not get it twisted.
You know, we must be reminded, too, that all these experts who just came on your show, Mark, and even Ms. Robot, and even Pastor Coates, you know, they are in complete agreement with something happened that must be explained. As a matter of fact, in the past, there's been so many deaths that's been ruled undetermined. But according to eyewitnesses, which definitely it's obvious that the state's attorney doesn't take that into account because of the past events that Ms. Robot stated and, of course, because of the report that the spokesman put out. I mean, it's obvious that it's not being transparent. And reflected back on what the councilman said and what Max said about political maneuvering, this is not the time to make a grandstand. It's not the time to come forth. The time to come forth was when this happened. Don't stand up and stand out right now.
We have to take a brief break. We're going to come right back, and we're going to bleed into the top of the hour, push sports back a little. We want to hear more from Delmon Coates. We want to go back to the phones here, let Nick Mosby have a say. Leo, Chris, and Dolores are all on the line. We want to get their quick thoughts on the air. Before we have to move on and remind you all about how to get to the city council tonight to hear those hearings, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. That was Most Def Ghetto Rock. Today is his birthday. On the way back to a conversation here, I want to remind you support for WEAA is provided by Starbucks, offering Starbucks handcrafted beverages. We are here talking about the Tyrone West case and all that's come out. We are joined here in a studio by Atoya Leatherby, who is the student reporter that broke the story in the spokesman, the MSU student paper. We're joined by Tawanda Jones, Tyrone West's sister, George Peoples, his uncle, Jamie Richardson, his cousin. We're also in the studio with us is so many people. Make sure I have everybody's name here right. The Reverend Delmon Coates is with us, senior pastor of Mount Enum Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland, who's been talking about this since the beginning. He's now candidate for Maryland Lieutenant Governor on the ticket with Heather Mazier. Jackie Lewin Robarge is with us. Jackie Robarge is founder and director of Power Inside, a program of fusion partnerships. And Councilman Nick Mosby is with us, who represents the 7th District, heads the Public Safety Committee, and is conducting hearings tonight on Tyrone West. And let me just say, let me just clarify something from the Medical Examiner's Office. That what I read earlier in just an email exchange with them, that is true of all their cases. They're not specifically talking about the Tyrone West case, but all their cases. They're saying this is how things work. 410-319-8888. Delmon, you want to say something on the way to the phones?
Yeah, I want to say that the preliminary incomplete report that came out yesterday raised more questions than answers.
Yes.
And after we solve the Tyrone West case, and we will, particularly when you think about the resolve of this family, the question becomes, what are the policy reforms and solutions that come from this? And I believe that the West family ought to become the face of statewide reform when it comes to this issue, and we have to make sure that there are some specific legislative reforms and policies that come from this great tragedy, because every family is not going to have the kind of tenacity that this family does. There are many other families that are suffering in silence, and so we need to make sure collectively that some specific legislative policy reforms come out of this.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. Three very quick calls here. Nick Mosby is still with us by phone. Leo, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I'm Mark Steiner.
Good morning, Leo.
And everyone.
Good morning, Leo.
Of course, the Tyrone West family are members of the Committee of Concerned Citizens, of which I'm the chairperson, and we're proud of their initiative and leadership. Let me say that from the very beginning, there's been an attempt to orchestrate a cover-up in this case and other cases of police brutality, a conscious conspiracy
Amen.
To obstruct justice. As we see it. Now, I'm outraged that the state medical examiner says he's not going to participate in the proceedings. That's the governor's man. This is a state agency. why wouldn't they voluntarily participate mm-hmm. in a public hearing designed to clear the air and make clear exactly. what is going on? I say that there's a black guerrilla correction. There is a white guerrilla gang, and the white guerrilla gang consists of the mayor's city solicitor, Greg Bernstein, Rod Rosenstein, the U.S. attorney for the District of Maryland, David Fowler, the chief medical examiner, Bob Cherry, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, and Rochelle Wiki Spector, the 37-year veteran of the city council who needs not to be on the city council. All of them, Mark, are obstructing justice.
Yes.
It's massive resistance to the changes that we need. It is systemic. Go back to the Pine Street Station, which is still there, and you will see, going back 50, 60 years in Baltimore, police brutality.
Amen.
And we're going to bring an end to
yes.
it.
Yes.
We're going to bring an end to it, and we're going to throw these bums out of office. They need
say it
to
again.
Be prosecuted.
Amen.
Prosecute the police
ASAP.
And legislators who are conspiring against our interests.
Yes.
Leo, thank you so much. Let's go to, we'll have some final thoughts from everybody on this panel. Very quick thoughts. Dolores, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I say hi to my family also. I thank
God. Good morning.
Thank
Sister Mark.
That God's given them the strength and the resolve to stand up to this man. It's because it has been an uphill battle. They initially treated Tyrone just a typical black male within a confrontation.
Yes.
Nothing else. They tried to sweep it under the rug.
Yes.
Had it not been for the relatives, God knows,
yes.
this would not be where we're at today. But my concern is today, as it was back then, the two or three police officers
Amen.
Initiated this
yes.
whole thing, placed the entire city in a very dangerous position. Those two or three arrogant,
yes.
thuggish police officers who decided to stop my nephew simply for a basic traffic stop, and you end up with a murder.
Yes.
And those two to three police officers are still on the taxpayers' payroll.
Yes.
You know there's a cover up. If they had started and initiated this sort of injustice and ended up with a murder, look at all the other people they put in danger. Additional policemen, all the staff that came yep. out to involve in this incident, two or three police officers
yes.
initiated this mess. So the beginning should be to get them three off the street before they do it to someone else. Get them
yes.
three off the street. The mayor wouldn't be standing there trying to answer unanswerable questions.
Yes.
Commissioner Vance wouldn't be standing there trying to answer unanswerable questions.
Yes.
Get at those three first, and let's move forward. Those are your three key people who initiated this unjust thing from the beginning.
Yes.
Thank you. I love you, family.
Love you, too.
Thank you all.
Excellent. Well said.
And final call, then we'll do a quick closing out with our guests here. Chris from West Side, you're on the air.
And to you, Mark, very quickly, the human body operates just like an automobile. And so if you interrupt the electrical charge, you will stop the vehicle. If you interrupt the air induction into a vehicle, you will stop the vehicle. We're mm-hmm. talking about the police precipitating an incident that caused the stopping of the functioning of the body. There's precedent for this. In the legal term, precedent. If I were to jump out of a bush and say, give me your money, you had a heart attack and died, I would be charged with homicide.
Mm-hmm.
These officers yeah. precipitated his death.
Yeah.
That autopsy report is a clear conspiracy. It is clear because mm-hmm. the autopsy is just supposed to tell how this body stopped functioning. Now, they don't want to show up to the hearing. Call it what it is. Thank
exactly.
you for
taking
my call.
Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Well said.
So let me go around the room here very quickly and ask everyone to kind of close out with a final thought because we do have to move on to the next hour's subject. But we are staying on this subject until it is resolved between now and whenever that takes. We'll be doing this once a week, every other week, whatever it needs to happen. We'll be on the air addressing this issue. Very quick closing thoughts from all of our guests. We'll go around the room. Tawanda, why don't you start?
Well, I want to first of all start by saying thank you for having us on here. We really greatly appreciate it. And also, I want us to keep in mind, which I hadn't touched on because I got caught up in other things about the autopsy. Let's not get it twisted about the officers that stopped my brother, that initiated, like my aunt said. this whole tragedy, they shouldn't have even been on the force at all. They got away with brutally beating Anthony Anderson, and 2 weeks prior, Abdul Salam. He was beaten by these same road cops. And had they would have been prosecuted in those cases, my brother would still be here. So let's not forget that at all. And that's all I want to say.
Reverend, go ahead.
Well, the only thing I want to say is that as the world remembers Nelson Mandela, Mandela understood that in order to rebuild South Africa, you have to have truth and reconciliation.
Amen.
There can be reconciliation without truth. And I'm hopeful that this family and the rest of us who are concerned about this issue will help bring about truth
Amen.
And clarity and transparency in this process.
Well said.
Do you have a final thought, Jamie, very quickly before we go? No?
Well, I guess the one thing I would like to say before we part is that we can't forget that police brutality is nothing new in Baltimore.
Exactly.
The only thing is that this happened to the wrong family.
Exactly. They should have did their homework.
So I am very grateful to the West family for getting this issue out there and being really the face of this issue.
Yes.
Because this is an issue that we can only stop. We pay their salaries, and this shouldn't have happened in the first place. So
Amen.
I thank the West family
thank
for
you.
Being
well
so resilient.
Said. And we are not going to stop until we get justice.
Jacqueline Barge.
Thanks, Mark. I would like to see an independent and evidence-based accounting of the hundreds, if not thousands, of man or undetermined deaths over the past decade and find out what happened and give the families some justice and some resolve in what happened to their loved ones. And if we need to take other city or state agencies to task to do that, then I think we need to get busy because there is an entire decade mm-hmm. unaccounted for where hundreds per year in the state of Maryland have no cause of death. And I would like to see some work done on that.
Let me just say that Jackie, for what you just said, even if it's not till right after the new year, we will come back and do a program just on that particular issue for an hour, looking yes. at the questions you've raised, were raised mm-hmm. by Justin Fenton and others.
Because some of these are murders, some of them are overdoses,
right.
some of them are suicides. All of those are human beings that deserve the dignity and
exactly.
their families deserve to know what
exactly.
happened.
Let me get these quick comments from the phone. George, you be clean up. We'll let you have the last comment for the day, okay?
That's fine. That's fine.
Hey, Mark, I'm still on as well. This is Nick.
Nick, go ahead.
I was just going to say, first, Jackie, I would love to sit down and talk to you and kind of go over the information that you have to see if from a counselor perspective there's anything I could do. From the family perspective, you know, the uncle reached out to me a few weeks ago. We had a personal sit down. That's when I got involved. I'm with you guys. I understand the concerns that you have. And just from a government perspective and dealing with us citizens, we have to do a better way of ensuring that they are part of the process. You know, at the end of the day, it's taxpayers' dollars that pay for the process. They pay for the salaries. They pay for, you know, all of the things that go into the administration of it. And it's critically important that we keep an open dialogue. Like I said, the issue with this particular case is that it dragged on for so long that all it does is exacerbates the trust of the citizens because there was no communication with the family. There was no dialogue with the community. And it's critically important that we stop taking this elitist mentality and just telling folks to wait, wait for us to finish as opposed to making them part of the process.
So what time is the hearing tonight? How can people get there? Nick?
The hearing tonight is at 5 o'clock. It's going to be also on TV 25.
But you should start lining up early in this cold weather if you want to get in.
I would say it's probably going to be pretty crowded to get there around 4 o'clock. Yep. I will not be able to attend the hearing tonight.
Right. You will not be at the meeting?
No, I will not be at the hearing.
A quick thought. Christopher Anderson's on the phone. I think out of respect, we should let him have a quick say. Tyrone's uncle, then we'll go to the Uncle George's in the studio. Chris Anderson, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, Mr. Mark? I was at your station once before, and that's my beloved family you're talking to, Tawanda George,
hey.
All them.
Hey.
I just want to say, I miss my nephew. He didn't have to die like that.
Didn't.
These police should be prosecuted to the fullest.
To the fullest.
I watched my nephew's picture on a wall in my kitchen, and all I can see him saying, Uncle Dynamite, they beat me to death.
Mm-hmm.
I want something done. I really want something done.
We're going to get something done. Don't even worry about it.
I want to thank my family for being stronger than me. I have a lot of medical problems. Me and my sisters can't get out when we want to fight with them, but I'm still fighting with them right here. And I will thank everybody else that plugged in, that got on board, and get to see what ugliness we got here in this city.
Yes.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Chris.
Love you.
Our hearts with you. George Peoples.
Thank you, Mark. In closing, I would just like to say, and I would be remiss if I didn't thank my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
For giving this family the resolve and the strength to go on. And I also would like to thank the community who's supporting us and who wants to see injustice done away with. I'd like to thank Councilman Talmadge Branch, who is the head of the Public Safety Committee.
Yeah, I was wrong. You're right.
Right.
Sorry,
he is the
right,
head of the Public Safety Committee, and I'd like to thank him for initiating this. I'd like to thank Pastor Delma Coates,
yes,
who's running for Lieutenant Governor along with Heather Mazier. I'd like to thank Ms. Robot. I'd like to thank the spokesman for breaking the news, which
yes,
sort of like precipitated this whole thing.
Exactly.
But basically, I would just like to thank everybody for their support and supporting this family. And what we're endeavoring to do, and at least we be reminded, these police officers have criminal records in
themselves.
And of themselves.
Exactly.
It was reported that they have criminal records, and yet they're still on the force. So with the good Lord's help and with his strength and with his guidance, it will be what it will be, and whatever it is, our family will go through it.
And I just wanted to say one last thing, and I know you got to wrap up. If my brother would have known that there was killer cops behind him, he would have dialed 911 himself.
I want to thank all of you for being here today. And we will stay on this with all of you and follow up with the state's attorney's office, medical examiner's office, everyone else in the case. We won't let it go either. We can do things differently in this society. We just have to be ones to make that change. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We're going to take a very brief break and come back with our sports panel, so don't go away, folks.